The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that of you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who drew the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come up. So did you get to play in some snow yesterday?
Yeah.
A little bit. It was fun. Guess what fun stuff we get to do now? We get to learn Greek. Yay! So there are two words that I want to teach you today in Greek. And they both mean love, but they mean different kinds of love. Because Greek is this interesting language that has at least five different words that mean the word love, that we use as love. And so the first word I want to teach you is philia. Can you say that?
Philia.
Philia. Good job. And that's brotherly and sisterly love. It's like the love that you have for your best friends, the love that you have for your siblings. It's great. It's fun. The other word I want to teach you is agape. Who can say that? Can you say agape?
Agape.
Good job. So agape is the love that God has for us. It's a whole, complete, total love. Yeah. And so when you think about the love that God has for you, think about this whole love, this complete love that will always love you and always be with you. Who can say agape again?
Agape.
So that's the love that God has for you and God has for all of us. Go in peace. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God's love and justice for humanity shows up to a wedding in Cana. On Friday, I had the opportunity to go to the interfaith worship service that was held in Temple Israel here in West Lafayette. And the topic of the sermon, when my friend Rodney sort of got to it, he's a Baptist preacher, and so Baptist preachers sort of go, there's a topic, and then they go, and they come back to the topic, and then they go, and then there's the topic again. They don't sort of, their style is different, and they don't have, you know, German and Scandinavian folks sort of beating in the three-part sermon sort of deal that folks like I get when we're in seminary. And so while his sermon style is different, the point got across. And it was this topic of justice and love. And how justice is different from charity, where charity for us ends up being this band-aid, this response to this brokenness in the world. Justice becomes this thing that is a system changer. While God is active in both of these things, God's fullness is seen in justice. This justice that changes the dynamic and the way that we live together and care for one another. And that love can be different. And so that eros, which is relational love that we have with a spouse, or philia, the love that we have for a brother, is distinctly different from agape, this love that God has for us. There is human weakness found in eros and philia. There's failings found in it because it is of a human emotion, a human activity. But this agape is a complete love, a whole love, a perfect love from God. King knew this in his work. King knew that for us as a nation to move forward, we had to find this justice and this agape among us, that we needed to live and operate in that justice and love. It's why when I always see King's name printed, I always rant at friends who forget to put the Reverend in front of Doctor, because his faith strongly navigated and controlled the way that he operated in society and with politicians, the way that he fought the civil rights movement. The Reverend was foremost in everything that he did. He saw himself as a representative of God trying to change society for the best. And so we get Jesus. Jesus, on the third day, is at a wedding. And in this wedding culture at the time, it's not just an hour, everybody shows up, there's a little thing, and then they go to a little party that happens after that, and everybody goes home. No, weddings are these long, sometimes week-long events in this time, in this culture, where parties go on forever and different traditions take place throughout the time, with obviously lots of drinking taking place in it. The steward is aware of that because he chastises the bridegroom. Why would you keep the good wine until the end? Why not serve the inferior wine when everybody's drunk? So there's this concern that there is no more wine. And Mary turns to her son, because Mary knows what's going on, right? I mean, Mom knows about you. And we have several texts that tell us that Mary has pondered or thought about many of the things that have happened to her in her interactions with God. And so Mary knows about her son and says, hey, can you take care of this issue? And Jesus goes, but this isn't our issue. And Mary simply turns to the stewards and say, do what he tells you. Obviously for Jesus to hear, because, I mean, when Mom says something, you do it. And so in an indirect sort of actually passive-aggressive Scandinavian sort of way, Mary directs Jesus to take care of this wine issue. And so there are these huge jars that are sitting there, six that hold between 20 and 30 gallons of liquid. He tells them to fill them to the brim with water. They do this. They fill it to the brim. And he simply says, take some to the steward. The steward tastes this wine and I imagine is utterly befuddled, thrown aside and confused about what has just taken place. Because there's this concern about there being no wine, and now all of a sudden, the best wine this wine connoisseur has ever tasted has just come into his presence. Now, I'm not a wine person, but I've been informed that you can clearly tell the difference between sort of really bad wine, sort of average wine, and top shelf stuff. And I imagine this person who has the job of caring for wine knows that something profound is here. That this best wine, this perfect wine, happens on this third day. That on this third day, Jesus reveals himself with this first sign. The glory of the Lord is seen on this third day. A foreshadowing of the third day to come. And that in the incarnation, our God made flesh, not only does the party continue, but life is made whole. That all is made one with God. And so that in this act, in this first sign, in the operation of the incarnation of our God, justice is possible. Justice is possible because water can be turned into the best wine ever served. Justice is made possible because a man can boldly say, I'm going back to the concentration camps, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer did. Justice is possible because a man like King can stand up and say, I have a dream. And this dream can be a reality. That love is possible. That love becomes possible because God's glory is revealed on this third day. That God's glory is fully revealed in the resurrection on that third day. That love becomes possible because God first loves us. King knew this, and in this time, when it seems to be going the wrong way, that we seem to be moving in the wrong direction, we need to know, we need to trust in it too. We need to trust in this complete and whole justice that comes through our God. This complete and whole love that comes through God. This agape that flows from Christ, inspiring us from the Holy Spirit that moves us forward. And so what are we up to? What are we doing? What are we doing corporately as people of God here today and individually for this love and this justice in our community, in our country, in our world? For anybody who's heard any of my sermons long enough, these are open-ended questions. This is a challenge for you as you leave this place. To ask yourself, What am I doing to move this love and this justice forward in this place? What am I doing in congregation to move this love and this justice forward? How am I hearing the words of God, who simply say, you are full, and that's the change. Those jars were empty, and they were filled with water. And Jesus' words over that were simply to serve it. There was no prayer. There was no intervention over it that the text shows us, but to simply be poured out. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we face this day of justice, that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day becomes for us and our nation, know that God's love and justice showed up to a wedding in Cana. And know that God's love and justice is here and possible with us now. Live in that love. Live in that justice. And pour it out for all the world. Amen.